Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday morning. I'm Jeff Stover. I'm with the Virginia Department of Health. So just to make sure that we're all in the same place, or the place that you want to be, this is the Measuring Program Effectiveness Screening Coverage Treatment and Partner Services Symposium. It'll be the best one of the day, we're pretty sure. So the way we're going to work this, we have four speakers as opposed to five. So we're actually going to let the speakers kind of maintain their own time a bit, to a degree. So they're going to have 15 minutes each. So if they use all 15 minutes, then there'll be no time for questions immediately following their presentation. If we have some time at the end, we'll still follow up. If they use less than 15 minutes, then we'll take some Q&A leading up to the next presenter. Okay? So the first presenter today is Jenny Bowen. She's with DSTDP at CDC, and her presentation is Verifying Treatment for Reported Cases of Gonorrhea, One Aim, More Than One Approach. So come on up, Jenny.
Good morning. Thank you guys again for being here today. I know it's a little tough. Last day of the conference, 8 a.m. I'm going to go ahead and get started. All right. Treatment verification is an activity or intervention undertaken by health departments to ensure that gonorrhea cases receive correct treatment. This typically involves identifying untreated or incorrectly treated cases and ensuring that they receive proper treatment. Treatment verification may reduce gonorrhea morbidity at the community level by shortening the duration and transmission of individual infections. It may also decrease the development of antibiotic resistance by reducing the number of gonorrhea cases treated with ineffective or partially effective regimens. Tracking gonorrhea verification efforts is important for demonstrating an effect on these outcomes. In 2013, CDC's Division of STD Prevention issued a new funding mechanism for state and local STD programs. This award was designated for improving STD programs through assessment, assurance, policy development, and prevention strategies, or APPS. APPS requires all project areas to assess the proportion of GC cases that are treated correctly according to current STD guidelines, stratified by provider type. The CDC wants project areas to establish a baseline measurement of the indicator proportion correctly treated and to understand who is not following treatment guidelines. APPS then asks grantees to increase the proportion of patients with gonorrhea that are treated according to current guidelines in areas of high morbidity. Using information from the assessment phase, grantees are asked to craft a plan for assuring adherence to treatment guidelines. For gonorrhea treatment to be considered correct, it needs to be both timely and appropriate. Timely means within 14 days of specimen collection, and appropriate here indicates that it follows the treatment guidance laid forth in the most recent release of STD treatment guidelines. Guidelines were last released in 2010, but an update to gonorrhea treatment followed in 2012. New guidelines are slated for release this year. The current recommended treatment regimen for gonorrhea is 250 milligrams of ceftriaxone in combination with either azithromycin or doxycycline. This study was undertaken with three primary objectives. First, to describe any baseline data currently available for gonorrhea treatment verification in the 59 project areas. Second, to describe approaches that STD programs are currently using or plan to use to verify gonorrhea treatment. And third, to identify common measurement barriers faced or anticipated by STD programs in verifying treatment. In conducting this study, we reviewed all 59 APPS applications, identifying all mentions of gonorrhea treatment verification. We abstracted gonorrhea treatment details pertaining to the three study objectives I just mentioned. We then conducted key informant interviews with STD program personnel from 11 project areas, trying to glean more in-depth information about treatment verification. These project areas were selected to represent a variety of regions, health department structures, and gonorrhea morbidities. Data from all sources were coded deductively based on the study objectives and analyzed thematically. Baseline data were only available for select project areas. Project areas tend to conceptualize gonorrhea treatment disposition into four main categories, but they are often only able to report out on two or three of these categories. The greatest baseline data finding was really an understanding of how many gonorrhea cases are missing treatment information, particularly in many of our high morbidity project areas. Missing data will make assessment difficult. Many programs were inclined to report high levels of correct treatment, but they are reporting only on those cases that are known to be treated. Equal or higher levels of missing data can cloud our interpretation of their assessment. This stacked bar graph illustrates the four major treatment dispositions I mentioned earlier. In this example, 50% of all cases, the green section at the bottom, are considered correctly treated. Another 10% of cases, in pink, are considered to be incorrectly treated. This may be because the treatment did not occur within 14 days or because it involved a treatment not listed in the guidelines. A third group of cases, here in blue, were not treated at all, and this is known and documented in the STD surveillance database. Lastly, perhaps most daunting, is the fact that some percentage of cases, here 30%, have an unknown treatment status. Cases with missing treatment information may be more likely to represent private facility diagnoses and may have different prescribing practices. This graph depicts a variety of real baseline measurements provided by five distinct project areas. In green, you see the proportion of cases that are known to be treated correctly. This figure ranges from 26% in Project Area A to 93% in Project Area E. In blue is a combination of cases that are either treated inappropriately or untreated. Some project areas lacked the specificity to report separately on these different variables, so they combined them here. I combine them here for the sake of illustration. Lastly, in yellow, you see the proportion of all cases for whom there is no documented treatment information. This unknown group ranges from 0% in Project Area D to 61% in Project Area A. Project Areas A, B, and C, as you might have guessed, all reflect high gonorrhea morbidity jurisdictions. The variety between the three may indicate different degrees of involvement and investment in gonorrhea treatment verification. Prior to APPS, most programs were not tracking correct gonorrhea treatment as an indicator of program performance. While many programs are looking at individual case reports and responding to highly inappropriate treatments, this form of individual case management is not the same as being able to say with confidence that incorrect treatment only happens X percent of the time. Current and proposed approaches for verifying and monitoring correct treatment vary widely. One of the main differences between programs is how treatment information reaches the health department and lands in the surveillance database. In some jurisdictions, providers proactively submit treatment information to the health department, including the regimen and date of the treatment administered. This reporting might be done via pen and paper on a case report form, or it might be input into an online case reporting portal that health departments can view in real time. Another less common option is that treatment information is slurped out of electronic medical records, or EMRs, meaning it's downloaded, shared with health departments, and then uploaded into the surveillance database. In some very rare situations, EMRs communicate directly with the program's surveillance database, and the need for downloading and uploading is eliminated. Most commonly, though, providers either don't report at all or report so infrequently that project areas are constantly working to solicit treatment information. This may involve telephone calls from the centralized office or a local DIS intervention. One jurisdiction sends each diagnosing provider a name-based list of his cases by secure fax and asks him to circle treatment information and return the form. From whom we get treatment information is just as variable. Almost all the project areas currently verifying gonorrhea treatment are attempting to do so for 100% of their cases. Some programs are proposing in the future to focus on special populations: women, men who have sex with men, or racial and ethnic minorities. Other groups are choosing to conserve resources and will only be verifying treatment in select high morbidity areas. Many of the grantees receiving CDC's Sentinel Surveillance Network, or SUN, funding intend to use the representative sample of gonorrhea cases from that project to monitor correct treatment. Other less representative samples have also been proposed, including using clinic data from family planning clinics. Some areas intend to use special studies, like one-time sampling, to examine treatment. It should be noted that some of these methods will leave project areas unable to report on this indicator stratified by provider type. Just as our assessment approaches vary widely, so do approaches to actually improving gonorrhea treatment verification. Many jurisdictions want to focus just on improving their data quality, finding that high levels of missing treatment information are preventing them from making an accurate baseline measurement. Improving reporting includes educating providers regularly on the law and process of case reporting, including the use of those reporting portals. Other methods to improve reporting are variations on the theme of nagging, including sending providers their own incomplete report forms to fill out, or automating communication with providers when the treatment field is blank in the surveillance database. Several decentralized health departments cited the need to improve local verification efforts. Some proposed adding or had already added a performance indicator related to treatment verification on local health department scorecards. Separate from improving data quality, many project areas want to improve providers' use of correct dual therapy gonorrhea treatment. Efforts to improve prescribing practices include offering continuing education and sending Dear Colleague letters. Project areas identified several barriers that may prohibit the measurement and improvement of gonorrhea treatment over the next 5 years. These include barriers to provider reporting, barriers involving the data elements contained in their surveillance databases, an unclear definition of what correctly treated means for the purpose of precise measurement, and limited human and financial resources to monitor this indicator routinely or to improve upon it. The greatest barrier to fulfilling this app's requirement appears related to high levels of incomplete treatment information. Low provider reporting is one of the greatest contributors to missing treatment information. Electronic lab reports rarely contain information on treatment. Project areas cite the trend toward electronic lab reporting as one possible source of provider apathy. Because providers know that cases are being reported reliably from another source, they may feel relieved of their obligation to report. In addition, the legal requirements simply are not enforced. Staff turnover is high in many of the positions responsible for case reporting, and this turnover increases the need for programs to constantly retrain staff on how to report data elements like treatment or sex of sex partner, as well as how to use the reporting systems. The subpar nature of many surveillance database fields makes it difficult to capture gonorrhea treatment in full, compromising the accuracy of their data. Many database deficiencies surfaced following the recommendation that gonorrhea be treated with dual therapy. Now that doxycycline and azithromycin are recommended as primary treatments for gonorrhea, many databases just have not caught up. In sum, the treatment field simply cannot capture more than one treatment for gonorrhea. Other areas cite structural barriers to entering dual therapy that make it unlikely that providers will enter both treatments. For example, ceftriaxone might be a simple drop-down menu option, but azithromycin may need to be entered by hand into a separate field labeled Other, and this deters the correct entry of both treatments. The continued use of free text on report forms also hinders treatment capture. Writing treatments in by hand makes it more likely that providers will write and note ceftriaxone and omit azithromycin. The increased level of concurrent gonorrhea and chlamydia diagnoses that has resulted from an increased level of dual NATs also poses confusion for staff members, who often enter in ceftriaxone for gonorrhea diagnoses and azithromycin for chlamydia diagnoses, rendering the gonorrhea treatment incorrect. Measuring and reporting on an indicator like proportion correctly treated requires a clear definition. Sorry, we're going to move on. Requires a clear definition of who belongs in the numerator and denominator. At the time of the study, CDC had not finalized performance indicators for correct treatment, leaving vague definitions of appropriate and timely. The term appropriate leaves many areas unsure of how to categorize treatments listed as alternatives in the guidelines. This is important for areas using cefixime for expedited partner therapy or school-based programs. Providers administering higher than recommended doses of ceftriaxone would also be classified as inappropriate despite the low priority to follow up with these cases. The term appropriate, used for apps monitoring, does not fully overlap with what health departments consider to be effectively treated. I might have skipped ahead one there. This study is not without limitations. APP's applications are short and dense, leaving many programs unable to elaborate on their strategies. Many additional findings were yielded from in-depth interviews. Project areas selected for those interviews were sampled purposively, and as a result, the baseline data presented here are not representative of all 59 areas. Despite these limitations, this study contributes new information to our understanding of the diversity of STD programs nationwide. This study is one of the first to describe how programs intend to tackle the requirements set forth in APPS and to identify barriers that must be overcome before these requirements can be fully realized. In conclusion, baseline data reveal that missing treatment information will limit the ability of many areas to meet APPS requirements. Although many programs perform some form of gonorrhea treatment verification, most programs are only beginning to develop plans to monitor treatment verification efforts, and approaches to treatment verification vary widely. The barriers to monitoring gonorrhea treatment are substantial, and many cannot be fixed quickly. More information is needed to determine both the benefit and cost benefit of different strategies for identifying and treating persons who were untreated or inappropriately treated. I'd like to acknowledge my programmatic colleagues for their grant writing skills and their willingness to be interviewed, and I'd like to thank my CDC colleagues for all their help as I formulated these research questions and compiled this data. Thanks.